Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The Government Pensions Administration Agency has reportedly awarded a multi-million rand biometric contract to a company that, according to records, has been deregistered. This obviously raises serious questions about oversight, procurement processes, and ultimately public accountability in South Africa. To unpack the story and what it means for South Africa and for taxpayers, we're joined by Jan Vermeulen. He is editor at My Broadband. Jan, a very good morning. Thank you for joining us. I'm hoping you are well. Can you start by explaining what this contract was for and why they were looking for this biometric solution in the first place?
Yeah, good morning, Howard. So this is just to give credit where it's due. This is the excellent work of Sikonathi Mantshantsha. People might remember him as being the spokesperson for Eskom during the André de Ruyter era. He was an investigative journalist at News 24 before then. And then after André de Ruyter was ousted, he returned to News 24. And he is back in the saddle properly now. Mantshantsha and I have butted heads before, but he is definitely a journalist second to none. So the contract here is about verifying the identities of pensioners. Ostensibly what it was about is to verify that the people that you're paying these pensions to are the right people and or exist. That's essentially what's rolling out. And we're seeing similar kinds of things rolling out to the state Social Security Agency, where there's been a lot of grant fraud. And so they are rolling out biometric checks as well to try and crack down on that. So, yeah, that's ostensibly what this biometrics contract is for, is for that sort of thing.
Right. So the rationale is a good one, and it really makes sense. But obviously, the from idea to implementation is when things go wrong. So what happens now? What happened following this decision to go biometric?
Yeah. So, based on Sikonathi's reporting, the a whole lot of things have gone wrong at the GPAA, and this is just one of many ways in which it seems as though money was being siphoned out of the pensions agency into the pockets of connected people, You know, what happened in this case is the contracts were awarded to a company called LCS Identify Consortium, two eyes in front and two eyes at the back, by the way.
Right. But
that entity is not registered. It's not registered with the CIPC. So they claimed to represent a company called, represent, I think is the best way to put it, a company called LCS Technologies, which is a registered company in the CIPC database, but it's in the middle of being deregistered for non-compliance. It has not filed annual returns since, I think, 2017. And we spoke to one of the directors on that company, on LCS Technologies.
Right.
That person said that they have nothing to do with this, so their name is just being used as a front for whatever this consortium was doing is what they're alleging, and they've actually approached the High Court to force these LCS holdings or consortium guys to stop using their name.
So this obviously is clearly a fraud, there's corruption here, but surely there are procedures within an organization or a department that have to be followed and everything sort of signed off one step to the next. I mean, this really speaks to a massive conspiracy within the department, doesn't it?
It would seem so, or a just gross failure of due diligence. And so, I mean, you know, Handlin's razor says don't attribute to malice what is adequately explained by incompetence. But the preponderance of evidence about the wrongdoing at the GPAA suggests that this is beyond mere incompetence. So this, as I said, this is just one of many stories that have come out from News 24 about this. And so it certainly seems to point to a larger scheme being operated inside the GPAA to siphon funds out of it into the pockets of people. And so the next step is to figure out, you know, how far up that goes, you know, who all benefited, who all was aware of how rotten the scheme was. And take it from there. So, that's where we're at the moment. Is to figure out just how deep this rot goes at the GPAA and whether people's pensions are affected.
What bothers me, well, there's so many aspects here that bother me, but what concerns me even more is that it's not even very sophisticated. There isn't even that much of a need, it would seem, to form a company, register it, make it seem as though it's the right company. It obviously means that either the systems are so bad that that they can get away with it, or there's so much of this going on that that there isn't even really a need to be particularly careful.
Yeah. So one of our sister publications has been investigating similar kinds of schemes within the Department of Tourism, and there it's very sophisticated. And so I tend to agree with you that the stuff is happening all over the show to varying magnitudes. Now the question is, because our prosecution capacity, our capacity to hold people in civil service to account. So firstly, our elected officials and people in civil service to account for corruption has been gutted by state capture. And that is still not rebuilt. So that's been a huge failing of the Ramaphosa administration, or the Ramaphosa administrations, including the current government of national unity, that we still don't have proper prosecutorial capacity to actually deal with this kind of stuff. And until that happens, people are going to, unfortunately, there are people out there who are quite happy to keep stealing as long as they know that they can't be caught. The only way to stop the stealing is to have the threat of being caught hanging over them.
And more than being caught, being prosecuted.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because having your names smeared all over the media doesn't seem to be enough of a disincentive now either. So jail time, orange overalls, that is really the only deterrent that is going to work long term. And until that happens, we're going to keep seeing stories like this.
So I guess the question is it a good thing that we're seeing we're reading about these stories, or is it a terrible thing?
I think it's like so many things, it's both. It's terrible that this stuff is happening at all, and that there aren't the high ethical standards that we hope for inside our government and our government agencies. But I think for most South Africans, unfortunately, we've become quite jaded and come to expect that. So what's good is that the stuff is coming to light, the people involved are being named, from there, hopefully, steps can be taken, firstly, to get them in the dock and then eventually behind bars, At the very least, make it so that they won't be able to do this again. Double. I don't want to say double-edged sword. It's both. Because certainly, first prize is we don't want this to happen at all.
Right.
Second prize is the people who do this go to jail.
I was going to let you go, but before I do so, just a comment from a listener, which I wanted to put to you, that is, corrupt people cannot be uncorrupted. What do you think?
In my personal experience, when you're dealing with fraudsters, that kind of corruption, fraudsters, scammers, people who will look you in the eye, lie to you, and take your money. No. The only way to stop them is threat of jail time.
Jan Vermeulen, thank you as always. Food for thought. Give us your thoughts, 061-895-1019.